Every one of us have things that we need to know. And that becomes pretty obvious for us. It's a good idea for you to know when your quarterly estimates are due for the Internal Revenue Service. The only reason I mention that is because I have a hard time remembering June. And a reminder that September is coming up. But one of the things that I wanted just to mention as we introduce our lesson, if you're ever going to drive something new, there are three things you need to know. And if you don't know those three things, you got no business driving whatever it is you're wanting to drive. And that comes out of the remembrance of a film that I saw not too many years ago. It was a film about Jane and Kathy Hanley and Cindy Crawford when they were all three single and they made a trip to Alaska. And at one of the stops in Alaska, they decided they were going to take a tour of the town on mopeds. And the film is absolutely hysterical. And it is only about their beginning and a little bit about the end. And so we don't get all the details until they start telling the story. And it's really Kathy and Cindy that will be happy to tell you the story. Even if I ask Jane for the story, all she does is laugh and say, "We don't want to go there." And that's all that there is to it. But when you see that film and you hear the story, you understand that if you don't know how to start the vehicle you're going to ride, and you don't know how to steer it, and you don't know how to stop it, you got no business riding it. You got no business driving anything that if you don't know how to start, steer, or stop. That goes for a horse. That goes for a car. That goes for a bicycle. That goes for so many different things in life. There are things you need to know before you start attempting some things. Well, guess what? There's some things we need to know about life. And the Apostle Paul does something extraordinary for us without even intending to. And without even intending to, he gives us a picture of himself. He gives us a picture of his life and the way he did things. And it shames me. And it probably would shame all of us. He's brought to a large, huge city for the day in which he lived. And he's left. And in the process of being in that city, he begins to notice the way the city lives, primarily the gods that they worship. And he begins to explore the idols that they have erected, that they worship, and that they adore. And when he does that, it bothers him. It bothers him that this city is so filled with idolatry. He doesn't dismiss them as being just a wicked town and not being able to wait until he can get out of it. He's concerned about this whole city. And it bothers him about the condition that they are in. And he does something about it. The first thing that he does is go to the people who already know the book. And he goes to the synagogues and he reasons in the synagogues with the Jews and those God-fearing Greeks that live in the city of Athens. From there, because in the Sabbath is the only time that they're going to meet in the synagogue, from there, every day, he goes down to the market. And he begins to have conversation with whomever would join him in conversation. And what he's talking about is the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some individuals who are philosophers in the town, who spend their entire days doing nothing but listening to new things and talking about new things, hear this new thing from this man in the market. And they invite him up to the Areopagus to meet with other philosophers so that they can hear this new thing that he's talking about. And Paul is delighted to go. And here is where we see what's fascinating. What do you talk about to people who have no idea who Jesus is? What do you talk about to people who have no idea of the one true God? What do you talk about people, or to people, who are absolutely ignorant of the Bible and the God of the Bible and the things that they need to know? Well, Paul, in this lesson that he delivers on Mars Hill, gives to them the things every human being needs to know. And giving to them everything a human being needs to know, one of those things should lead them to further investigation. And here they are. The first thing that he says is, you're created. The God who made everything. The God who made all of us. You are created. You are not an accident. You're not a mistake. You were created with a purpose by a maker. You are made. You were planned. You were formed and made and created by the mind and the intelligence and the power of God himself. The writer of Hebrews will write in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. So what's our maker like? Well, we need to know that. We need to know what our maker is like, because the only way to learn about myself is to learn about the one that made me and why he made me. And when I learn about my maker and what he made me for and what he wants from me, then I learn about me and I learn about what I need to be like. And so Paul will talk a bit about the maker and tell them some things about him. And we do not have any lack of thoughts for God. Look at this city. They didn't know anything about the God of the Bible. Very few of them, if any. And yet their minds were filled with thoughts about a being above us. And they would have all of these different gods based on everything they could see in nature that they couldn't explain. Everything they could see in nature that they knew they didn't put there. So they would have a god for the wind. They would have a god for the rain. They would have a god for the ground. They would have a god for the sun. They would have a god for the moon. They would have a god for everything that they saw that they depended upon. And they realized and understood the importance of those things to them. But they didn't put them there. They knew they weren't responsible for them. And so they attributed them to different gods. And that means they were not understanding about the God that created everything. We don't lack for thoughts about God. And the reason we don't lack for thoughts about God is because of the world he's put us in that we didn't make. And also because there are things inside of us that we can't explain without him. Why do I feel guilty about something I've done that I've never been trained by my parents not to do it? Why do I have this guilt? And why is it that when I come to a choice, there's always this sense of, well, I know what I ought to do. How? Well, I know what I ought to do. Why? How do you know what you ought to do? Why does this guilt come into you? There is God within each and every one of us because we're made in his image and his likeness. And there's something that's not right and missing when we don't understand what's going on inside of us. We're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. He's not made in our image. That's one of the things the people of Greece, the people in Athens needed to know. You don't form something and say, there's my God. Because God is not made in your image. And he's not made in the image you designed for him. He is who he is. You instead are made in his image. And you are made in his likeness. Every human being needs to know that. And God is not what we think. And even in America, when we're covered with Bibles, we need to remember this. God is not what I think, and He does not think like me. And just because I think God would be pleased with what I'm doing doesn't mean that He is. And just because I think that God would be happy with me does not mean that He is. Because I am not made, or rather, He is not made in my image, but I am made in His image. And He is not what I think. Our thinking needs to change. Our thinking needs to turn to truth and reality. Truth delivered to us by God, and the reality of God that we see around us, and the reality of God that we come to know about through His Word. Our truth, or rather our thinking, doesn't need to stay where it is. Because there's some parts of our thinking that are not in harmony with God. And what God desires is for us to change the way we think, challenge the things that we believe, and move toward Him, move toward truth and reality. And God is not dependent upon us. He doesn't have to have us to have somebody to love. He already has somebody to love. He doesn't have to have us to feel a need on His part. He has no needs that we're going to feel on His part. Our God is not dependent upon us and not in need from us for anything. That's something we need to know about God. He doesn't need us. We absolutely need Him, because we can't live without Him. But He is not dependent upon us. And Paul lets this group of people know that as he tells them about this God they don't know anything about. We have a purpose. God made us. He created us. He designed us with a purpose. He has expectations for us to repent. Those expectations Paul talks about when he says that when God made us, He put us all in groups of people, and He set boundaries for countries so that all of us might seek after Him and come to know Him and might return to Him and might come to Him in repentance. The need that all humanity has is to change. Turn in our minds, turn in our hearts, turn in our lives, and turn back toward God. And we need to seek Him with all of our heart. God wants us to seek Him. He wants us to come to know Him. And Paul reminds those people in Athens, He's not far from any one of us, because it's in Him that we live and move and have our very being. He's not hard to find. All you got to do is just listen to what He says and pay attention to what He's done, and you will find Him, because it's in Him that we live and move and have our very being. We need to seek Him, not the God of my opinion. Not the God of other people's opinion. We need to seek Him. We need to seek God. And we seek Him through His Word. Homer Haley, member of the body of Christ, who did a lot of writing and teaching, wrote this: "You cannot know what God says unless you know what God has revealed." You can't know what God says unless you're reading what He's revealed to us. Unless you're reading His Word. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless he comes through me." He is the only way to the Father. That's such an exclusive statement, but it's the truth. It's the reality. It doesn't matter what all other religions or what all other attitudes or opinions about God might be. If we don't come through Jesus, we don't come to God. And we need to know that. And so Paul, in talking about that, Jesus says this to them: every single one of us are going to be judged. Somebody once said, and it was Michael Landon that I heard say it, he made the statement one time when he had cancer, that everybody needs to know when they are born that they are going to die. They need to know something more than that. That after that death, you stand before God in judgment. And the Apostle Paul makes that clear to this group of people who knew nothing about God, as he had opportunity to speak to them about things we need to know. We're all going to be judged. And we're not going to be judged by a committee of our peers. We're not going to be judged by the people who knew us best, because there's a God who knows us better. We're not going to be judged by the folks we lived around. We're going to be judged by the one that made us, by the one who created us. We're not going to be judged based on how we compared to others. We're going to be based on what we did. We're going to be based on what we did in connection with what God said. We're not going to be judged based on how we compare to other people. We're going to be judged by one man, Jesus. And here, if the people of Athens were paying attention, when the Apostle Paul goes in to explain this, every single one of us are going to be judged by one man, and that one man is Jesus. Then the question ought to be, who is this Jesus that's going to judge everybody? And what right does he have to be the judge of everybody? And then Paul could have told them why he had that right and exactly who he was. But we will all be judged by one man, and that one man is Jesus. And because we're going to be judged by Jesus, there's some things you got to believe. There's some things that every human being in this world has got to believe. They got to believe that Jesus is him. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Jesus is God come in the flesh. That Jesus is that Christ talked about in the Old Testament. And every person in the world, because Jesus is going to be our judge, has something they've got to do. And that thing they've got to do is whatever the will of the Father is. Whoever does the will of my Father, Jesus said, will be the ones who have eternal life. Will be the ones who will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The others will be lost. You can't drive this life. You can't start it, you can't live it, you can't finish it unless you know these things. You can't live this life the way you need to live it unless you know these things. You got to know how to start your life, how to steer it, how to direct it. And you got to know what to do in order for the end to be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are things everybody in the world needs to know. And the amazing thing about Paul, he took personal responsibility to tell as many as he could. Do we take that same responsibility? Are you in Christ? You put your trust in Jesus? You're listening to him? Are you ready or need to be baptized into him? You need to come home to him? We'll offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.